This episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Get exclusive rewards and more by visiting outsidehealthandfitness.com/support. Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 163, how to see the results you want.
One of the key things to being outdoors as well is that you have the sun, which gives your body vitamin D. Mm. And vitamin D is really essential for all kinds of things.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness, and thank you for joining me for another episode. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, crawl, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. Does this sound familiar? You're working out every day. You're drinking more water, you're cutting your calories, and wait for it, you're not making any progress. If you've ever been frustrated that even though you're doing all the right things, you're not seeing the weight loss results that you want, you need to check out what my guest, Gerald Smith, shares on today's show. On today's show, you'll discover the role hormones play in a healthy, sustained weight loss, what you can do beyond counting calories to achieve your goals, and an amazing clean eating program that can help you realize your health goals.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
Now, before we get into my interview with Gerald, I wanted to let you know what's coming up this week on my new show, Funky Fitness Now. This week, Jessica and I are talking about some unusual winter sports. This stuff is really weird, but the time is right. Here's a clip. Hi, I'm Steve.
And I'm Jessica, and we host Funky Fitness Now.
Every week, we take a fun look at the weird, wacky, and funky things people do to stay fit.
Join us each week at funkyfitnessnow.com.
On iTunes, Stitcher, and other top podcast networks.
Stay fit and funky.
So my guest today is Gerald Smith, and you might remember him from episode 156. Gerald's a personal trainer from London, England. He's a former amateur boxer, writer, and speaker who specializes in high-intensity interval training. Now, be sure to stay tuned after my interview with Gerald for more information on a program that can help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Okay, let's get right into my interview with Gerald. Well, Gerald, I'm really excited to have you back on the show. It's been a little while, but it's nice to talk with you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back again, and I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to have some fun talking about hormones and weight loss.
Yes, absolutely. Two of my favorite things, hormones and weight loss. Let's get right into it.
So I think when it comes down to weight loss, most people think to themselves that if you eat less calories than what you're using, you're going to lose weight. And that is actually true. I mean, you can't actually argue with the logic of that. Mm-hmm. The difference is, and where hormones comes into play, is that it's the way in which your body's going to then actually respond to the lack of calories which you're getting in. So if you have someone who's stressed and they're basically in a fat storage mode, then even though they're actually reducing the calories and losing weight, they're still going to have a very high fat percentage compared to someone who whose hormones are more optimally balanced. So during this interview, I'm going to go into a bit more about what hormones are going to affect how you lose weight.
People sometimes get into kind of a vicious cycle with that too, right? Where you want to lose weight, but you're kind of stressing about it, which is causing, you just kind of keep going around and around.
Precisely. And stress is definitely the key one to... one of the key hormones in terms of how effectively or how quickly you can lose weight. For instance, when you're stressed, you release a hormone called cortisol. Mm-hmm. And cortisol's not really a bad hormone. I mean, cortisol's one of these hormones which you release where if you were going to be attacked by a lion or something like that, your body would release adrenaline, it would release cortisol. So the adrenaline will speed up your heart rate. The cortisol is going to be released to break down protein, break down fat, break down carbohydrates, so that you've got a large release of energy. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, once you've gotten away from despair, you're going to calm down, you're going to relax.
Right.
Now, the problem with today's society is that, you know, we've got the type of things which are causing us to release this hormone nowadays is, you know, competing deadlines, rushing around, relationship problems. So we're always in this stress state, and we're releasing this hormone, which is causing our body to, you know, once it's finished breaking down carbohydrates to use for energy, it then breaks down your muscle mass. And when you start breaking down muscle to produce energy, then you actually reduce your metabolism. It's very similar to if you have a car which has an engine the size of 1 liter. Mm-hmm. If you remove the engine from that car and put a bigger engine into that car, it's going to burn more petrol because it's got a bigger engine. Your body works the same way. You know, if you've got a higher muscle mass, you're going to burn more calories. So if you then release a lot of this hormone, which is going to obviously break down your muscle mass, then your metabolism is going to be affected, and therefore it's going to be harder to lose weight in this stressed state.
So it's kind of the fight or flight response, which is kicking this cortisol, like you said, and the issue now with modern day life is that we're just constantly under stress. So when you're working with somebody that wants to lose weight, and you know that these things are kind of playing a factor, what do you advise them to do? What sorts of things can they do to try to mitigate that, you know, that response?
Yeah, there's a few things which you can do to override this. So one thing that you can do, I mean, nutrition's key, but if we take nutrition to one side, it's actually learning to relax. So look, some things which you can do, for example, would be deep breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a part of your nervous system which responds to rest and relaxation, and another part which responds to stress and stressors. And when you actually take deep breaths, the side that responds to rest and relaxation is activated, and you can release the hormones to counterbalance the stress hormones you're releasing. If you have more time, meditation is a really good thing. By meditation, all you really need to do is just find a quiet space. You can either sit down in a chair, lie down on your bed, and again, you're just taking deep breaths, and you're trying to just allow your mind just not to think about anything, just to get into that relaxation state. Mm. And that's one thing that's going to reduce your stress levels. And the more times you can do it in the week, the better results you're going to get.
Nice.
There's obviously nutrition as well. So I'm trying to reduce the amount of processed foods you get into your diet, trying to regulate the amount of sugar you get into your diet so that you're trying to stop this undulation between sugar and stress. So what I mean by that is when you eat something very sweet, your blood sugar levels spike up and you release a hormone called insulin, which reduces your sugar levels in your blood. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just reduce it to normal levels. It goes all the way down. And then you release this hormone that we were talking about before, cortisol. And that tells your body, I'm hungry, I need something sweet. So then you eat something sweet, your blood sugar levels spike up, you get back down, goes up and down. So you have this undulation of high blood sugar levels, low blood sugar levels, and you've got all these hormones being released. So by actually stopping that and stop eating really high carb foods and very high sugary foods, you can also go a long way to reducing this release of cortisol.
You're kind of talking about relaxing and kind of calming down and stuff. And what about just nature and being outdoors? I mean, I know that there's some evidence that we really need those sorts of environments too, and that can really help with our physiology.
Yeah, definitely can, being outdoors. One of the key things to being outdoors as well is that you have the sun which gives your body vitamin D. Mm. And vitamin D is really essential for all kinds of things. It's essential for reducing inflammation within your body, and it's a key nutrient for improving your skin, and there's all kinds of other benefits from actually being exposed to vitamin D. And if you're where I am in the UK, where it's cold and miserable and raining, it's worthwhile actually taking a supplement to get this vitamin, because if you're not, and even in the summer, it's quite surprising. You'd think that when the weather's hot, that we're going to get more exposure. But because of the world we live in nowadays, particularly in the States, from what I understand, you guys are in the car, you get out your car, you go to the supermarket, or you go to the house. So maybe you're exposed to the sun in 7 seconds, you're indoors.
Yep.
You go back out, you get back in your car. So we're not really getting exposure that you would think that we should be getting, right, even when it's hot. So vitamin D is definitely something worth supplementing, and definitely going outside, getting fresh air. It's all going to help rather than being indoors all the time, which is how our lives are today.
And even when we do get outside, you know, we're told to put on SPF sun blockers and all that stuff. And so we really kind of reduce our exposure more than ever before. So this weight loss is a very complicated matter, isn't it? Like you said, I mean, when you first look at it, you just kind of do the math and you go, okay, I'll just consume fewer calories than I'm burning and I'm good to go, which logically makes sense. But when you start adding all these other factors in there, it's no wonder that people really struggle to find that right balance.
Exactly. And hormones is one part of it. It all starts in the gut as well. So you have something called dysbiosis, which is if you actually look at the gut itself, there's actually more bacteria in your gut than there are cells in your entire body. So we're talking trillions and trillions of bacteria. And what a lot of people have is an imbalance between the good and bad. So it's meant to be 80-20 in favor of the good to bad. Yeah. But we've got, most people nowadays have got it the other way around. The problem this causes is it makes it more difficult to digest food. And obviously digestion's a key thing. You don't really want food coming into your stomach and just sitting there and rotting. And then from that, you also get other kind of problems within your gut. There's something called leaky gut, which is something which most people in the world actually have and don't realize they have. And what leaky gut is, the gut acts as a barrier between, you can almost think of your gut as the gatekeeper. So when you eat something, and you have, let's say you have proteins, your body doesn't need protein in the blood. It needs to break proteins down into something smaller called amino acids. And it's the amino acids that we need to take out from our foods. Now, what happens with leaky gut is that you have larger holes in your gut wall, which allows bigger particles through. And once these particles come through the barrier, all of a sudden, your immune system doesn't recognize what's coming through. So it attacks these larger molecules, and your body thinks it's at war, and this causes inflammation. And inflammation affects your cells. It affects how you absorb nutrients. It also can cause you to become intolerant to certain foods as well. So there's a whole lot of things that start from your gut, just improving your gut health as well. So if you've got a bad gut, it's going to be very difficult to lose weight. So as you were saying before, it's not just calories in, calories out. We've got to think of a number of different things. You have to think about how healthy is our gut. How are we hormonally balanced as well? Toxicity, how toxic your body is and your cells are as well. These are all, there's numerous factors that are interacting together in order to cause us to either be unhealthy or to help us lose weight.
It's an amazing thing, because over time these things kind of build up and are working against you, but it's amazing how quickly the body can, I mean, if you do the right things, you give the body what it needs, how it can really kind of bounce back and get back to where it wants to be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're spot on. I mean, you can get your body into this state, but as you say, you can reverse it by eating good foods. And, one of the first things you do have to do is just cut out all of the processed foods. So by process, the easiest way to think about it is when we have foods which our body doesn't recognize, it comes into the system, and the only thing your body can do is say, well, I don't really recognize these foods, so I'm going to give it my best shot to digest these foods, but I can't guarantee anything. And over a period of time, It's these foods which your body doesn't recognize, which causes this destruction, if you like, or this extra growth of bad bacteria, because mm-hmm. you've got so many things going on in your stomach as a result of these foods which are coming into the intestines. So with a good diet, you know, with good diet, we're talking about quality proteins, good sources of fat, and lots of nutrients and vitamins, you can start to reverse a lot of the process which, and start to undo a lot of the process which have actually begun to deteriorate your health.
Yeah. Another thing I was thinking about was, you know, you obviously you do a lot with exercise and helping people there, and that's one of those things that can really help to reduce your stress as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yes and no, because
yes and no.
Exercise, it depends, because exercise obviously does relieve stress. However, it's got to be done right. When someone is in a stress state, what you don't want to do to someone in a stress state is hammer the body with really intense exercise, because that also can put a stressor on the body.
Yeah.
And you then actually fuel the fire, if you like. So you can actually make things worse. So what you can do in that situation is, yes, you can still do a fairly intense training, but what you then have to do is increase the rest period so that it's less stressful on the body.
Right.
So yeah, so you can exercise, but you just have to know how to do it once you're in a stress state, because if someone is stressed and we're saying, right, okay, this is one of the major reasons that you're actually putting on weight, then we don't want to then make that problem worse. We want to reduce it. So we have to think of all the different things we can do to reduce it. So maybe reducing rest period, intensity of the exercise, and obviously putting some meditation in there as well. Mm-hmm. But as you say, when exercise is done right, it's a stress reliever, most definitely.
When you sit back and you look at it, like we've been talking here, there's so many different factors involved, and you know, it can be very overwhelming for somebody that is looking at this situation going like, I don't even really know where to start. What would you recommend for someone? Does it make a lot of sense to find a trainer like you that can kind of help guide them along, or is there one particular area that you say, hey, you know what, start with this and then kind of move on?
It's a really good question, because there are so many people across the world who are doing exercises like perhaps spin classes, really intense exercises, and week in, week out, mm-hmm. they're extremely fit, but they're not losing weight. And they're wondering that question, why have I still got fat around my stomach? How comes it can't shift? And yes, when you're in this situation, and your end goal is to lose weight and that's not happening for you, then yeah, you do need to seek out a professional just to have some kind of test done. So maybe find a nutritionist who specializes in hormone balancing, or a personal trainer who specializes in these things, just so that you can have some kind of assessment. Mm-hmm. You can go to your GP as well. There's assessments they can do on your thyroid. They can look at your stress levels. You can actually measure stress by taking a saliva sample. I've never actually carried out the test myself, but from what I understand, you just take that saliva sample, because you just take a saliva sample and you can see the levels of cortisol from that saliva sample. So those are two tests. You can have your thyroid, you can have your cortisol levels tested as well at the GP. And from there, then you can go out and seek help to try and combat these things.
I was thinking about the meditation, and I had somebody on the show once who is big into meditation, and she said, you know, for some people they just can't do it. They just can't seem to sit there and shut their mind off. So she was talking about kind of just being present in the moment. Are there things that you have experienced with people that maybe have a hard time just kind of settling down and relaxing that seem to help them?
I mean, I think the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the only thing I've really ever said to anyone, just persistence. But you do just have some people that are just so stressed and they just can't bring their mind down. So trying to focus on the breathing can help. But it really is practice. I mean, I noticed over a period of time, like when I was doing a lot of yoga, that it did become easier with time. That's the biggest thing I can really say. Just keep with it, and you know, just whatever happens. I mean, if your mind drifts, then just let it. You just have to go over the flow.
Yeah, I've done that before too. I've done some yoga before, and that seems to be very good. And I've actually dabbled with some Tai Chi before, which really, for whatever reason, you just kind of get in this zone and time just kind of floats by, you know?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, and another thing I want to add as well, just going back to, almost forgot, one thing that can help as well, if you have to do it late at night, one thing that can really help is taking the lights down as early as you possibly can, because having lights on and looking at a computer screen all day as well, it tells the mind, you know, that it's still daytime, it's not time to go sleep yet. So just a little thing like that, just making sure that if you are going to meditate, make sure you turn your phone, if you're not looking at the computer, you're not watching TV. Yeah. And just to allow your stress levels and everything else just to come down naturally. And that can also help as well.
Now, where can people find you or follow you online?
Yeah, so I have got my website, Personal Trainer, cityoflondon.co.uk. I have a blog as well. Yeah. It's a /blog. You can come find my blog. I am on Twitter as well. So if you guys want to follow me and see my tweets, please feel free. My name's my Twitter handle is GeraldSmith20.
Awesome. And you're very active on Twitter. We talk on there quite a bit. That's awesome.
My platform. I love Twitter.
Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff. And I was saying before we get started, I was just on your blog, and it looks awesome. It's have you changed it since the last time we talked? Because
yes, it's I might have made a few modifications. I mean, there's always little tweaks I'm doing to it. So
no, it looks really good. And I'll make sure we'll have links in the show notes to all that stuff, so folks can find you. And I remember that you had a really nice YouTube channel too.
Definitely, that's still there. And I just want to say as well, there's a post coming out on the mental aspects of weight loss, because obviously we've been talking about the physiological things, but assuming you understand how to get your hormones balanced, then it's the motivation side. So there's a post coming out to help viewers with that, with just the whole preparation and how to go about weight loss from a mental aspect. So watch out for that post, guys.
All right. That sounds great. We will do. Well, Gerald, thank you so much. And I know, again, you know, every time we talk, it's really late for you. So I appreciate you staying up and coming on the show to share all this great stuff with us.
Thank you. No problem. You know, thanks for having me back, more importantly, as well. It's been real fun. It's been good.
Anytime. A lot of fun. Yeah. So I want to thank Gerald for coming on the show. He always shares great information when he's here, and I'll have links to Gerald's site and that epic article on weight loss he mentioned. Now, you know, he talked about the importance of proper nutrition and keeping everything well-balanced in the body, and one of the best ways to do that is eating clean. Now, a few months ago, I was approached by my friend Ryan Crane from the Crane Training Method about an opportunity to help coach people through a clean eating program. Ryan did the clean eating program and got amazing results in less than a month, including more energy and improved outlook for food. He said it eliminated his memory fog and reduced abdominal bloating. Another benefit of clean eating is weight loss. It's a byproduct of a healthy lifestyle. Now, it's important to know that this isn't a diet. It's a whole food clean eating lifestyle. I'll have a video in the show notes at outsidehealthandfitness.com/163 where you can find out more about the program and a link to contact me directly. Visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/163 right now. Now, on next week's show, I'm talking with Tara from Fleet Feet Main Running about what you should and shouldn't eat before, during, and after your run. Now, Tara lives and breathes running, and she really knows her stuff, so you're going to get some awesome advice from her. Be sure to catch next week's show. Well, that's it for now. Remember to visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/163 to check out the clean eating video. I'm Steve Stearns. Thanks for listening. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.